Our scripture reading today is taken from Philippians 1:21. Philippians 1:21. It's a very short verse, but it's got a lot of power to it. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen. Thank you.
Happy Sabbath morning to everyone. I praise God that Emma and I have had these weeks to be here with you. As I look back on some of our past presence in this church, there's one thing I always remember about this church. It always had lots of love. And when circumstances took me out of this church and plopped me over there in Corning, there's one thing I took with me. It was the love of this church. And, you know, when I left and headed over there to Corning, I always said, Lord, you know, you gave me enough love in that church to last me till you come. So I have enough love from this church to last me till Jesus comes. And as I am here and have spent this time here with you, I note that love is still present. The bond is still here. And I praise God that I can be back here amongst you to be with you. And, you know, whether we're in Elmira or Corning or Timbuktu, we're all going to be together in the cloud of glory when Jesus comes. So we just look forward to that day and encourage one another towards that day. Let's bow our heads before we open the Word of God. Our Father, we praise you and we thank you. We glorify your holy name for the gift of Jesus Christ. We praise you for the blood that he has shed on our behalf. Unworthy though we be, we accept the gift. We accept the blood. And Lord, we need your Holy Spirit here to minister to us. Minister to those who hear. Minister to me as I speak. And most of all, Lord, as you minister, let us all serve. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. The book of Philippians chapter 1, 21 says, for you and I to live is Christ. If we look in all of Scripture, the one best definition of what it is to be a Christian, it is the verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, that for you and me to live is Christ. If we want an interpretation of what a Christian is, Scripture tells us that for you and I to live is Christ. Philippians 2:5 tells us, let this mind be in you that is in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:26 says, wash your minds with God's holy word. These minds we have are not capable of dwelling in the kingdom of heaven. These minds we have are not capable of dwelling in holiness. Our minds need to be washed with the Word of God. And you know, we can't keep washing our minds with the Word of God and keep getting them filthy all over again. You know, there's things we have to get out of our life. There's things we have to get out of our thought process, out of our minds, so that Jesus' Word can come in and wash us and cleanse us through the Word of God. And if you and I strive in all the humility that heaven would give us, if we would strive to understand what is the mind of Christ, we are not going to be left in darkness. We're going to be moving on to higher and higher ground. For Jesus himself said in John chapter 8, verse 12. He says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of your life. If you follow me, you're not going to be walking in darkness, but you're going to have the light of life living and dwelling in you. There is no church or there is no individual that can have the light of Jesus Christ if we fail to diffuse, to give away the glory and the light that Jesus Christ has given us the light that we have received from the throne of God. You and I have been blessed, but we have been blessed to be a blessing unto others. And we constantly need a fresh revelation, a fresh new experience with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that experience that we're having with Jesus Christ and that revelation that we're having from Christ through His Word, it has to be an experience that is harmonizing with Christ, that is harmonizing with the holy world that is on falling. It's an experience that is pulsating with the pulse beat of heaven, in harmony with our God in the sanctuary experience. High and holy attainments are within the reach of each and every one of us. It's a wonder we stay so nil in the experience of God. Like one preacher says, we, God's people, we know so much, but we experience so little, because we don't constantly stay with the Word of God. You know, we want to excuse the things we let into our mind, but you know, that just sets us back, and then we need Jesus to bring us forward again. But continual knowledge, continual growth, continual experience in righteousness and virtue, that's God's purpose for us. That's God's desire for us, to come up to holier ground, that we can dwell amongst holy beings, amongst a holy God. And His law, His law is but the echo of His own voice given to all of us, the invitation to come up higher, to be holy, and to be holier still. You know, maybe God's people are afraid to talk about holiness, that we are to be a holy people. But God's Word is constantly telling us that we need to come up higher, that we need to be holy. And our holiness is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in the blood He shed for us. It's in the righteousness He robes us in. It's in the life He lived for us. It's in the holy atonement and His intercession before the throne of God, at the mercy seat of God. But every day, you and I can advance in the perfection of Jesus Christ. That is also the perfecting of our character through Christ. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, it says that as you and I follow on to know the Lord, you and I will know that the path of the righteous is as a light shining in the dawn. And that light will shine more and more perfectly until that perfect day. So we are called to be the light of this world. And the problem that we have in the church, you know, the church is up here and the world is here, and then the world goes here, but then the church comes here. Then the world goes here and the church comes here. We're supposed to be getting higher and higher and higher instead of coming to a lower ground. We're to go to a higher ground. John 15:11, Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus is seeking to lift you and I up from the dust of sin. He's trying to reshape our characters after the pattern of His own righteous character, and He's trying to make our characters beautiful with His glory. Hebrews 12:2 says, we are to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross and He despised the shame. And what was the joy that was set before Christ as He endured the cross? It was the knowledge of knowing that souls were going to be saved through His sacrifice on the cross, that souls would be redeemed through his sacrifice on the cross. And you and I, as a follower of Christ, we are called to share in the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the leading of souls unto Christ. You and I are to endure as if we see the invisible, as we see Jesus before the throne of mercy. Jesus comes before the throne of mercy with our names engraved upon his breast. He comes before our God with our names graven in the palms of his hands. And he raises those hands before the Father, and he cries out, "Father, my blood, my blood, my blood has been shed for these wonderful folks here in Elmira." And God then is able to justify us if we give our hearts to Christ, if we repent of Christ. But we are to endure as seeing the invisible Christ. And we are to have a prayer life that will bring us into closer relationship with our God. A relationship so close that it'll be a means of drawing us closer to our God. Our source of power in our life is divine. Jesus is divine. You and I are the branches. And we are to be abiding in Christ as the branches abide to the vine. And he will supply the power for you and I to live the Christ-like life he's calling us to live. You and I here, upon this earth, we are to become like God in character. If we do not become like God in character here upon the earth, we're never going to become like God in the kingdom of heaven. We won't even be there. Because these characters of ours have got to be without excuse anymore. Without taking on the things of this world. Sin, sex, drugs, and booze, sports, entertainment, whatever you want to call it. It's all the baggage we're taking on to keep our characters in a defiled state. But we are to become like Christ here in this world. And by a life of service to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are to reveal Christ to this world. Jesus came to reveal the Father to the world. And he's given us the privilege of revealing him to the world. And what a privilege he has given us. And we must know him as he reveals himself to us personally. If we do not know him personally, we don't have a lot to give to anyone else. And a knowledge and an experience with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the true foundation of all education. And of all true service and all true surrender to our God. It is this and this alone that will make us like Christ in character. Transformation of character calls for purity of life. It calls for efficiency in our service through the Holy Spirit's indwelling. It calls to holding to right principles as given to us from the Word of God. And it all depends on a right understanding, a right discernment of the Word of God, a right understanding of the knowledge of God, to know God aright. And this knowledge is essential preparation for us living in this world today, but it's also critical preparation for us to live in eternity. For the only thing we're taking with us, folks, is our character. And if we don't have a character like Christ, we have nothing to take with us. The book of Proverbs, chapter 9, verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of our wisdom, and it is the knowledge that is holy and is understanding." In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, "According as his divine power has given unto you and I everything that pertains to life and godliness, the divine power of God, we have no excuse not to be living a godly life. For he has given to us everything that pertains to life and godliness. God cannot give us any more love. God cannot give us any more mercy. God cannot give us any more grace. God gave it all to us in Jesus Christ. He bankrupted heaven when he gave us Jesus Christ. God has nothing more to give humanity. He's given it all to us. Our problem is we're not experiencing what God has given. And we have to draw onto our God to have that experience. So it says in 2 Peter that his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Christ. Through the knowledge of Christ, who has called us to glory and to virtue. He hasn't called us to be watching all kinds of things that are rotting the brain. He hasn't called us to be part of this world. He hasn't called us to keep making excuses of why we're doing what we're doing, but I'm your child, Lord. No, he has called each and every one of us here this morning. He has called us to glory, and he has called us to virtue. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and promise, great and precious promises in the holy word of God. We have the great and precious promises of God, that by these great and precious promises, you and I can be the partakers of the divine nature of Jesus Christ. Folks, we're without excuse. God has given us everything to come to godliness. God has given us everything to partake of the divine nature. And through his godliness, living and dwelling in us, through partaking of his divine nature, you and I will escape the corruption that is in this world of lust. Folks, this world is corrupted. This world is morally bankrupt. But God says, come to me for godliness. Come to me to partake of my divine nature, and you will escape this world of lust. John 17:3 says, and this is life eternal, that we might know thee, the only true God, and to know Jesus Christ, who you have sent. And then Jeremiah tells us, let him that glories, let him glory in this, that he knows and he understands me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness. I am the Lord who exercises judgment and righteousness on the earth. Job 22:21-22 says, acquaint yourself now with him, be at peace with him, and thereby good will come unto you. Receive, I pray you, the law from the mouth of God. Lay up his words in your heart. Romans 1:20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even understanding his eternal power in Godhead, so that you and I are without excuse. God is trying to get through to us the message, we are without excuse. We can keep making our excuses. We can keep coming and repenting and go back to the same old garbage of our life. But God's word says, he will not accept our excuses. He will not be toyed with. We are without excuse, for he has given everything that he possibly could give. But nature, the creation of God, testifies that there is one infinite in power. There is one great in goodness and mercy and love who created our earth, and he filled this earth, and he filled our lives with gladness and goodness. Wherever you and I turn, you and I can hear the voice of our God. We can hear the voice of our Creator. We can see evidences of his goodness. When you and I see the sun rise, let it remind us of the glory and the almightiness of God. Ministry of Healing, page 411, says this: the sun rising in the heavens is a representative of our God, who is the life and the light of all that He has made. You know, our God is so pure. He is so holy that, you know, He is brightness. You know, we think of purity, we think of holiness, we think of something white. Well, when you think of God and God's holiness, He is brightness. So bright is our God that the lost will not be able to look upon Him. We ourselves will not be able to look upon Him unless we have the glory of Christ living and dwelling in us. But all the brightness and beauty that adorns this earth and lights up the heavens at night still speaks to us of our God, of our Creator. And you know, this world is in a downhill slide. But we can still see. We, of all people, Christians, Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we should know and appreciate and have gladness for the creation of God more than any other people. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 12. He has made the earth by His power. He stretched out the heavens by His wisdom and at His discretion. And as a personal being, our God is personal. He's to be personal to us. And as a personal being, our God has revealed Himself to us in Jesus Christ, His Son. Jesus Christ is the outshining of our Father. He is the express image of our Father. And you and I are created in the image of God. And there's a statement in the Spirit of Prophecy says, there's no other being in all the universe, in all of God's creation, there's no other being that has been created in the image of God. It is humanity and humanity alone. No wonder the enemy tries so hard to destroy us. For we, more than any other created being, are created in the image of God. Jesus is a personal Savior, our personal Savior, who came to our world. He's our personal Savior that wants to come to each one of our hearts. He's the personal Savior that is striving with all He has to save our souls. As our personal Savior, He died for us. As our personal Savior, He ascended on high. As our personal Savior, He's interceding for us before the throne of God at the mercy seat. He is one like us, one like the Son of Man. You know, I just love the fourth chapter of Revelation. It gives you such a visualization of heaven and the throne of God. You know, we should know these scriptures. We should know these chapters in Scripture. We should read these chapters of Scripture. So when we come to our God in prayer, He's not just out there. You know, it says in the fourth chapter of Revelation, I believe in verse 3 or 4, it says, you know, when we come to the throne of God, He's like jasper, He's like sardis. And above His throne is an emerald bow. Folks, we could have a sermon about the rainbow. We could have a sermon about the emerald bow above the throne of God. We could have a sermon about that beautiful wall around New Jerusalem that has the beautiful colors of the rainbow. It's all about God's mercy. But folks, when we come to our God in prayer, let us be able to see these beautiful things. For when we come to our God in prayer, we should be coming under that emerald bow of the mercy of our God. And it is our privilege to be reaching higher and still higher for clearer revealings of our God. You know, when Moses prayed there, he prayed, Lord, I beseech You, show me Your glory. You know, the Lord did not rebuke him, but He granted Moses his prayer. Would God answer our prayer any less if we would ask our God, show us Your glory, God, if He answered the prayer to his servant Moses. He will answer that prayer for his people in the last day. And God declared to his servant, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim my name before you. Our God wants to make all his goodness to pass before us. He wants to strengthen us in his strength. He wants us to go forward in his strength. And it takes a while. It took me 41 years to realize one thing. The Holy Spirit ministers and we serve. For so long, we think we're the ministers. No, we're the servants. The Holy Spirit is the minister. It is sin that darkens our minds. It is sin that dimmens our perceptions. But it says in his light, you and I will see light. Until our mind and our heart and soul are transformed into the image of God. To be transformed into the image of God is to be transformed into the image of holiness. And as we walk in the path of humility and humble obedience, fulfilling God's purpose for us, we will know more and more of the treasure of God. You know, we're all searching for wealth. You know, we pay the tithes, we'll all get rich. You know, God has far more wealth for us than money. God has wealth for us in a love relationship with him. He has wealth for us in eternal salvation. He has wealth for us in a relationship with one another. He has wealth for us in walking together to the kingdom of God. As we walk in this path of humble obedience, fulfilling God's purpose in our life, we're going to know more and more of the treasures of God. And the eloquence of a quiet, consistent, pure life of a true Christian is far more powerful than the eloquence of words. Far more powerful than any sermon. What we are has more influence than what you and I say. What is it to be a Christian? Let's look at Matthew 23:23. Well, let me take you back to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verses 3 through 10. For what is it to be a Christian? To be a Christian, it says here in Matthew 5, beginning in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Folks, let's go now to chapter 23 and verse 23 of Matthew. And it says here, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Are there any Pharisees in the church? Do we have a Pharisee attitude in the church? Are we so concerned with going out and giving the gospel, going out and telling people about the Sabbath, Have we forgot the weightier things of the law? Have we forgot about justice? How just is our life? Have we forgot about mercy? How merciful are we to our fellow man? Yes, we should give the gospel and not forget the weightier things of God's holy word. The words of Jesus, they bore a convincing power when he spoke them because they came from a heart that was filled with purity. They came from a heart that was holy. They came from a heart that was full of love. They came from a heart that was filled with sympathy and giving and a heart of truth and a heart of mercy and a heart of justice. It is our own character and experience that is going to influence the people outside these doors. Not what we're saying to one another. It's the life that we're living. In order for you and I to convince others of the power of the grace of Christ, we need to know that power in our own hearts and lives. The gospel that we present to save souls must be the gospel that has saved our souls. Only through a living faith in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior is it possible to make our influence felt in this world of sin. If you and I are to draw sinners out of the swift current of sin, then we have to be firmly standing on the rock Jesus Christ. Many of us who are already members of God's great family know little of what it means to behold His glory and to be changed from glory to glory. To behold His glory, to behold His character, and to be changed from character to character to character to character, growing in Jesus Christ till we are at the very throne of God. The Holy Spirit works with those of us who are willing to be worked. He will mold those of us who are willing to be molded. He will fashion those of us who are willing to be fashioned. And He will fill those of us who are willing to be filled. Society has its culture. Every nationality has its culture. Heaven has its culture. We here on the earth are to be living in the culture of heaven, the culture of holiness. And we are even told that let our conversation be the conversation of heaven. So we need to be living the heavenly culture through a holy communion with our holy God. For you and I have only seen the very, very least of the glimpse of the glory of our God. But when we come with humble and contrite hearts, we will stand where God can, and where God will manifest Himself in us and through us, and we will be the light of the world, as God has called us to be. But the mere hearing of sermons Sabbath after Sabbath, the reading of the Bible through and through, the explanation of Scripture verse by verse that we sit in our pews and suck up every Sabbath, they're not going to benefit us as we hear them unless we bring these truths into a personal experience that is an outgrowth of our individual experience with Jesus Christ. Our understanding and our will and our affections must be yielded to the control of God and the control of His Word. Christ bids you and I today to abide in Him, and He will abide in us. For as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, no more can you and I bear fruit unless we're abiding in Jesus Christ. He that abides in me and I in him, the same will bring forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will, and it will be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you go forth and you bear much fruit. And by bearing much fruit, you will be my disciples. For as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. For you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, that he will give it to you. You know, we get fruit mixed up. A lot of times when people hear about, I got to go bear fruit, they think, well, I got to win some soul to Christ. No, winning a soul to Christ is not bearing fruit. Winning a soul to Christ is the result of having fruit. The fruit that God wants us to bear is the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, kindness, goodness, mercy, gentleness, temperance. These are the fruits that God's seeking to bring forth in his people. And I find there's an awesome statement in the book of Philippians by the Apostle Paul. He says, brothers, be a follower of me. Be a follower together with me. Mark those who are walking. You have us for an example. Paul says, it is safe to follow him, and he will lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ in life eternal. Who of us this morning here is willing to stand up and go out into that world and say to the folks out there, follow me, and I will take you to Jesus? Do we have such an experience? Is it safe for people to follow us? Will they follow us to Jesus? If they follow us? Then Paul goes on to say, finally, brothers, whatsoever is true, whatever is honest, whatsoever just and pure, the things that are lovely, the things that are of a good report, if there's any virtue and if there's any praise, think on these things. See, Paul could tell people to follow him to the Lord Jesus Christ because he had a mind set on Jesus Christ. He had a mind that was true, and he had a mind that was honest. He had a mind that was just and a mind that was pure. He had a mind that was lovely and a mind of a good report. He had a mind that was virtuous, and he had a mind that was filled with praise. So it was safe. Paul could safely say, follow me and I will take you to Jesus. And Jesus stands at the door of each of our hearts today, and he says, I'm knocking. If you folks will hear my voice, if you will open the door of your heart, I will come into you, and I will sup with you, I will dine with you. When Jesus comes into our hearts to dine with us, what are we going to dine on? We'll be feasting on the glory of God. We'll be feasting on the Word of God. Jesus wants to have a spiritual banquet with us now, so we can have a banquet with him in the kingdom of glory. Paul says we can do all things through our Christ who strengthens us. Whatever our mistakes, whatever our failures of the past, with the help of God we can rise above them. And with the apostle we can say, this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind me, I reach forward to the things that are before me. I press forward to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Folks, the devil would love to keep us in the past, but it's too late for yesterday. It's too soon tomorrow. So let's live this moment, this day, this Sabbath, with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us forget those things which are behind. Let us reach forward to those things, the kingdom of heaven and the glory of God that are before us, pressing towards that mark for the prize of our high calling to walk them streets of gold with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that for you and I to live that is Christ. Amen. Our gracious Father, we praise you that there is higher ground for each of us to move forward on. So Lord, take our hearts, take our minds, take our spirits, take our souls, and just lead your people on to higher ground and to the glory of God, for we ask it all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Mm-hmm.